Joel call it in the ring. The date is December 5th, 2021.
What are we doing here?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry, I mistook. I mistook our weekly hangout where we just talk about pro wrestling for news. Sorry, I got a little bit confused. How's it going, everybody? How's it going, Joel?
I thought I was the news guy.
I didn't know we did news. Did we do news?
We absolutely do not do news.
We do not do the news.
The news
is something in written form. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know about you, Joel Pearl.
The news is often written, yes.
However, only correctly done written, as far as I'm concerned.
No, there are video news. You give the news over, you know, like the news hour. It's not opinion based, it's objective.
But it's a complicated medium.
It is a complicated medium. When we're talking about like the shows like you and I do, it's subjective. Like we're just talking about what we like and what we don't like. There are things about Rampage or Dynamite or SmackDown that I like that you didn't like. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, you're going to hear some of it.
Hell, Matt Cardona showed up. Matt Cardona showed up in the NWA last night, and I was telling you off air, Matt Cardona is the actual Forbidden Door. Nobody else. Not the Good Brothers. Not Mickey James. No, it's Matt Cardona is the actual Forbidden Door. Sorry, friends. That's just the way it goes.
Where are the Good Brothers?
Which one of us has been co-opted by the
you,
WWE?
You, definitely you. If it's one of us, it's definitely you.
I said it yesterday on my Twitter. I said, if any company, massive platform, whatever, offers me a gig to come in and talk about a subjective art form, I am there with bells on. If they offer to pay me to do that gig, I am there with bells and a halo. All the things. I don't care. Just pay me. Like, give me the platform, man. I don't care.
Like, I mean, honestly, if you tell, if I'm a sellsword, if anyone gives me money to say how pointless and dumb pro wrestling is, I'll do it. I don't care.
Exactly.
I'm not that beholden to this. So,
meanwhile, Elliot in the chat saying seems bad NWA. Yeah, I mean, I sat through that show last night. Let me tell you, when we got to the last four matches on the card, I was pretty tapped out, let me tell you.
I saw a photo where there was like a dozen people there.
That was my photo.
That was your photo.
Okay. It got passed around. I didn't take the photo. It was my screen grab.
Yeah, your screen grab. I didn't. What?
So for some reason, so they didn't have a full house. They were in Atlanta. They were at the studio, the TV studio that they normally tape at. And I understand that. That's fine. And then they kind of gathered everyone into the center and had like 35 people there in a studio that probably holds, if I had to guess, 100 tops. And they said the show was sold out. And then on the broadcast kept saying that the reason the show isn't full is because of COVID restrictions.
COVID, but they're all tightly packed.
But they're all packed in together. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure this goes against everything that COVID restrictions dictate.
Billy Corgan doesn't understand COVID.
It's carny. Whatever, man, it's wrestling. Either way, like I said, at the end of the night, Matt Cardona somehow ends up being the guy. He ends up being the guy who's going to challenge Trevor Murdoch, and that's the NWA now.
That's a hot take. All right.
We have a lot of that, I'll say. Well, look, we have our own hot takes. We're going to talk about it. Yeah. First, we're going to do what we always do. We're going to tell you, we got a Discord in the video description down below. It's free. Free 99. Go ahead, join us. There's a link there in the video. You can join our Discord. We talk about wrestling. We'll be talking about NXT War Games tonight, and we'll be talking about it today on the show. We're also going to do the thumbs up thing, right? If y'all are here, drop us a thumbs up. If you're here, leave us a comment. You can participate, join us in our live chat, because that's what we love. And subscribe to the channel if it's your first time. Tell your friends about it if it's your first time. Go ahead, get us in your friends' ears, and let's all have a good chat together. Because you know what? I want Cardona to acknowledge me, not just him. That's what I want. I want y'all to acknowledge us because we're here to hang out with you. Tim, how are you feeling?
A little bit amused that we're both wearing pristine jet black shirts right now.
Absolutely.
just a couple of bearded bros in their finest black t-shirts watching some wrestling.
When you watch wrestling, you must wear your finest black shirt. They don't release white t-shirts in wrestling anymore. Remember, except for that one, except for the Bloodline shirts. That's all. And the new Hey Randy shirts for RK Bro. Hey
Randy. I thought those were purple and green like the
they
like
are
Hulk.
Oh, but they're not hideous. Black. Anyway, SmackDown happened.
SmackDown happened. Brock kicks it off, eh? All right.
Brock kicks it off with Sammy. Listen, it's babyface Brock.
Brock. He's gonna come country out. Boy from Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. Hey, he pronounced it properly. He pronounced it correctly.
I don't even pronounce it that way. I call it Saskatchewan.
No,
but that's just because I'm from the East Coast, I guess.
Yeah, we grew up ignorant of our own country, even though history would tell us otherwise. So out comes Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn's like, I don't want to challenge for the title this week, despite the fact that for some reason last week we were told that the title shot would be this week. And they're trying to play it off as if they didn't say that, but then they did. I don't know.
Because it didn't work strange. For the thing that they came up with first in the writer's room, and they really wanted to go for coffee. So they just shoehorned it in, as they do when they need to every time.
Love Sammy coming to the ring and just being like, we have a lot of things in common with our career. We share a lot of things. Like, we're other than a couple of UFC championships, a couple main events at WrestleMania, we're pretty much the same guy. Two Canadian alpha males doing their thing.
Wow.
Big fan of that. It's stupid. I love it. And then, of course, he's like, I love your hair. I love Brock's hair, too. I still
do. It is a good choice. He should have done it ages ago.
He should have. And now he's doing it. And the beard is longer, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well
yeah,
shaped.
As, oh. I mean, it's Saskatchewan winters that'll give that to you.
This is all going to lead to us learning how to pronounce Saskatchewan.
I don't know. I got one friend there. Maybe I'll go visit her.
In Ontario, we say, what's the slogan? Is good things grow in Ontario?
Is that a thing? I don't know.
Yeah, that is.
I thought it was song. Open for business.
Well, they're not
much like me and you, open for business.
That's right. If you want to sponsor us, go ahead. We're open for business. TimandJoelPod.com. No, so they say, he's like, I'm from Canada and I hunt things in Saskatchewan. I kill things in Saskatchewan. I eat things in Saskatchewan. Does that mean he doesn't eat outside of Saskatchewan? Or does he only bring Saskatchewan based
foods? Well, okay. Yeah, maybe, because Pat McAfee was like, did he get bigger? And no, he visibly got smaller. So maybe it's because he doesn't eat things outside of Saskatchewan.
Good on him. Sammy, meanwhile, is like, I don't want to challenge him. But at the same time, maybe it's the best thing I can do is challenge Roman Reigns and win the Universal Championship. And then Sammy says the thing that he should say. And that is, because you and I can have a match at Day 1 and you can beat my ass.
Yeah. He's like, just let me have the title for like a few weeks. It's fine. It's so much easier.
He's taking the Miz approach. It was the same thing with the Miz and Bobby Lashley. Bobby was like, go ahead. I'll help you win the title. And then after that, you can beat my ass. Even though Miz was like cowardly and didn't want him to beat his ass.
Yeah.
It's fine by me. Either way, Lesnar convinces Sammy, says, tonight you challenge for the title, you win, and I'll be in your corner. And I'm like, oh, everything's going to go wrong.
And we don't get that. And we didn't get that.
So SmackDown, I watched it after the fact. I didn't watch it live.
As one should.
Right. Well, so far, I'm doing quite well with watching WWE programming, not live this week. I didn't watch Raw live. I didn't watch SmackDown live. But with SmackDown, I went back and watched it. Oh my God, 9:30, they do it again. They get to the main event, but they don't actually have the match until like 9:56.
I know, I was skipping through so much through Roman's entrance and then the recap of what happened earlier in the night and then more Roman entrance. And then I was like, oh, we're not getting this match. Okay, I see what's happening. Brock, you know, yeah. I guess we already saw that. That was 30 minutes ago, but yeah.
They just squeezed in as much stuff as they could. It was very, very surreal, very strange.
I don't know. Yeah, it's why work hard when you can work smart?
Pretty much. I mean, the rest of the show, again, paced well. They had good matches going. Yeah. They had, you know, entertaining stuff. Some questionable stuff. Again, I don't know why they do the Viking Raiders versus Carrillo and Garza, and then the Viking Raiders lose, but they're not upset about
because
losing.
Because of Knack and Boogs. And then, again, it's because it's a circus, right? So, like, they're doing that bit, and that all that bit is for the live audience. That has nothing to, like, repeating the same thing ad nauseum on TV is not a winning formula. Like, it this is for the live show, is Boogs. And it's just like,
Shout out to Boogs learning the Viking Raiders new theme, though.
Yeah, some power chords.
I didn't say it was easy. I just said he did it. I just didn't understand why they were like, oh, we're not upset. We're going to dance together now.
Raid, because the Viking Raiders raid. Suck now.
I hate it. I didn't like it. I didn't understand what that means. And again, you have an intercontinental champion who's in a tag team for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, I would love if he could drop that so they could do something with it. Because clearly see him as a tag team guy right now. So
before we talk about the rest of SmackDown, let's just get right into this whole thumbnail thing. So we know, excuse me, we know that at day one, we're going to see Roman and Brock again. Now, does that mean we're going to have to sit through Roman and Brock again at WrestleMania because they'll do a schmoz finish? Does Brock win the title at day one? Because there's no pay-per-view between day one and WrestleMania at this point. What do you want? Like, what would you like to see? And also,
wait, no, there's the Rumble, right?
There's the Rumble. But what can you do? Because Brock's not going to do TV every week unless his deal is like now including TV and not just dates.
That still doesn't stop them from using the part-timers, sadly, which makes the program really drag for a while. Like, they've done it before, and I hate part-timers at all. Like, I don't care if Brock Lesnar's not willing to come back for any amount of time. I don't care. Like, he's not that good, for one thing. Like, it's German suplex, German suplex, German suplex, F5, F5, and that's it. Like, I don't care. I like Brock Lesnar. I do. It's just, I don't like part-timers in wrestling. I'm not a nostalgia guy. So, like, what are they going to do? And it's either Brock beats him. We see 3 months or 2 months of Brock as champion, and then he loses at a WrestleMania, which again cheapens the WrestleMania matches. Like that year, the first pandemic year where it was Goldberg and Brock, both part-timers came in. I think they both had the championship.
That was into Mania. That was
these matches suck, and I don't care. Like, neither one of them was good. It was Braun and Drew, and it was
it was Braun and Goldberg.
Yeah,
it Braun turned and into Goldberg. Braun and
no,
Goldberg.
No, Braun and Goldberg Roman, and Drew and Brock, right?
Yeah, Drew and Brock. Yeah. And Drew won the title. And then it became Braun and Goldberg because Roman pulled out of WrestleMania going into pandemic because they were shutting down. And he was, I'm not going to, mess up my health.
Recently recovered from leukemia, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The whole thing was, I don't know, I hated those matches because they're not interesting. They're just, here's the highlights, match is over. Because you wanted to bring back Goldberg and Brock. And it's like, you're ruining your product like even further just because you want to do this nostalgia service. And it cheapens WrestleMania as a whole, as far as I'm concerned.
For sure. And I see, I see Ace in the chat saying Nakamura is the worst Intercontinental Champion ever. And I don't disagree.
He's pretty bad.
I disagree that as a wrestler, Nakamura is the worst. I don't think that's what he's trying to say. I think it's more like in the booking, he is absolutely heinous. It's really poorly booked. And on top of that, I remember a time when Brock was WWE champion and Brock didn't make all the town. So what do? They made the US championship the title in the interim. And they can't do that right now. No, they can't just suddenly make the IC title something.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I'm fine with it because the title is a prop. The title can be elevated or de-elevated in this case to the point of obscurity, or it could be made important. And right now they're not doing that with Nakamura, and they seemingly have no intention of doing so, which is why Brock winning the title doesn't exactly make a ton of sense to me, unless you start a storyline where Adam Pearce tries to get back at Brock for the next few months for taking him out and then suspending him. Like, what do we accomplish out of that?
I don't know. It feels like they're telling this weird long story that we're not really that privy to with Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce. And it's just like,
I don't think there is a story.
They're doing it for so long. It's so boring.
The only story is that depending on who they speak, they think this is reality. They think that, your boss doesn't like everybody, but they like some people, so they treat them accordingly. But the problem is, instead of it being so simple as you're a face, I like you, you're a heel, you do dastardly things, I don't like you, they kind of mix it up as to like who gets along with who, whose personality traits will get along. Like, it doesn't work that way.
That's what I mean, though. The WWE is trying to add nuance to pro wrestling, I feel like. And they're so bad at it because, one, they don't have the writing chops for it at all. Like, they just don't. Two, it's pro wrestling. So it really doesn't lend itself well to this historically and probably in perpetuity. Like, I kind of want the babyface heel dynamic, and we're not getting that so much. Like, right. I still don't understand why Sasha Banks is a face again, because she has done nothing to redeem herself. Like, I really don't get it. Like,
That's another thing.
We're just shoving people around in roles, and I don't know who I'm supposed to cheer for. Like, you know, I have wrestlers who I'm big fans of who in the show I will boo like hell because it's part of the experience. It's part of the gimmick. Like, I like it. Like, I would go and boo MJF even though I love MJF.
Like, right. You want to be able to, like, put your support behind the character, whether that's the boo or the cheer, it's both. Like, that is your support. You support them by reacting in the way that they are supposed to be reacted to. Like, when Roman turned heel, everyone was like, I love this. I'm going to support this. People would love to. Roman's cool. People want to cheer for him, but at the same time, they respect what's going on. Therefore, we're going to boo Roman accordingly. And that's, you don't get that with everybody. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And with, like, I understand Shades of Grey talking about Sasha Banks, but, like, they're not doing Shades of Grey. They just suddenly flipped her and said, okay, the depth chart needs revamping and here's how we're going to do it. It doesn't make sense. Like Ma Dan saying Charlotte interrupting Sasha interrupting Charlotte was them saying that she is a face now, that Sasha's a face. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it's lazy. It doesn't work.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
I love this from Supersonic saying, remember when Goldberg and Braun spam finished and we were watching a game of Smash Bros?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's what those matches were to me. And I didn't care. It was the same thing with the Brock and Drew. You had two of the exact same pointless match on one WrestleMania. And it was just, not for me.
I'm excited to watch Goldberg take a big ending at the Royal Rumble. So have fun with that.
Oh, that'd be so nice. I really hope they do that. I'm fine with that.
And again, going back to the Brock stuff, like, they did the whole backstage segment with Sonya and Pierce where they were like, Pierce was in the car or in another room and be like, I have to go remember the Alamo. And like Ma Dan saying, what does that mean?
It's okay. It means Adam Pierce is a supporter of slavery. That's fine. That's all Jesus. Good. I mean, look, the Alamo is horse shit. Like, it was when the U.S. was fighting the Mexican Republic because they were trying to encroach on Mexican land and, you know, just be Southern Americans back then holding slaves. And Mexico had already abolished slavery. So, don't care. Maybe remember the Alamo better. Is Brock Mexican? I don't know. Brock. He's apparently Canadian, despite being from Wisconsin. So,
he's from Wisconsin. Or he's from Minnesota, actually.
Okay. Cool. Then Chris Benoit is certainly from Georgia.
No, he grew up in Minnesota and then he moved to Saskatchewan.
Grew up in Edmonton and then moved to Atlanta, Georgia and became a Georgian. It's fine.
I can't believe you went to that.
I'll disavow it. I don't know. I really don't understand. Yeah, it's weird. I don't care.
I get it. But Jericho's
Canadian. Can take Jericho too. You're right. He's the better one. Let's go to that. Jericho's a New Yorker, right?
Christian?
Right?
Is he New Yorker? Christian's now? Toronto via Florida or Florida via Toronto?
Ew.
He's Tampa. He is Tampa via Toronto.
Yeah, you could have Christian too. I don't care.
Anyway, Sasha Banks beats Shayna Baszler. And at one point, Pat McAfee makes a reference of like future Endeavor kicking Nia Jax and Eva Marie. Not a thing you expect to hear, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. She gave people some retirements.
Paid for their retirement funds.
Yeah.
Oh, again, good match. Sasha Banks is an anomaly. They do really flip her back and forth as they please. And it's
without the one any that gets rhyme away or reason. It. Yeah. Well, I guess I have no desire to cheer for her.
I really don't care about Corbin and Moss and McIntyre and Hardy.
Yeah, the new tag team of Drew McIntyre and Jeff Hardy.
Why wasn't it a TLC match at day one between Roman and Jeff Hardy? I'm begging you to give me something different.
I don't know. We have Brock now for some reason.
Like, Big E is about to have a banger triple threat with Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. You could have made the Roman match as simple as a TLC Jeff Hardy match. I don't get it.
Yeah. The fans are so into Jeff Hardy. Like, they clearly want him. Like, just give them a month of Jeff Hardy.
Oh my God. Sorry. I had to bring this up. Kenny Omega, Canadian. Yeah, he's from Winnipeg by way of North Carolina. Oh my God, that's a good show. I didn't think about
that. Yeah, I mean, that wrestling hometowns, something else.
Yeah, everyone just fakes it. But yeah, speaking of faking it, you got day one coming up, and it's their first, they're running in an arena that has an owner who is part of the WWE board of directors.
He sits
on the board. So part of it, my belief at least, I could be wrong, is that they're just trying to make it a big stacked show so that they could tout the success across both platforms, both State Farm Arena and across WWE.
Does someone on the board also own the arena that Raw's in on Monday? Because they've also stacked that show for some reason.
Do you remember where they are? Because I don't. I know they're in LA on Friday for SmackDown. Friday,
yeah.
And that's a big Fox thing.
Yeah.
So that's always, I don't know where they, if someone in the chat will bring it up, wherever they are this coming Monday. You're right.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
They're doing KO in a steel cage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, Xia Li, they do the thing again, but she's debuting next week in LA. So clearly they want to make that a big thing. They'll probably give her a big entrance and then she'll probably beat down, I don't know, Aaliyah.
Yeah. Oh, why Aaliyah?
Because they pushed her and then she puked in the ring and they were like, none of that.
No more.
Yeah.
The protector's going to come protect your ass.
She's going to protect you from throwing up in the ring again.
I don't know.
I don't know who else she could face at this point. She ain't going to face Toni Storm. She's not going to face Charlotte. Smackdown.
Sasha Banks, flip her again. There you go.
Wait,
is Xia Li a heel or a face? I have no idea.
Xia Li's a face. She's protecting people. Oh, they're at the FedEx Forum in Memphis.
What's in Memphis?
Jerry Lawler.
Whoa, we don't need to put on airs for Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, tell me about it. The FedEx Forum. Yeah, it's probably going to be Aaliyah. There's no one else. Carmella. Oh, Carmella can now go from brand to brand because she's a champion.
She's tag champ, yeah.
There's no reason to do it. But oh, Natalia.
Natalia. There you go. It's absolutely Natalia.
Yeah, Xia Li is being brought in as a face, as like the protector of vultures. Is this like an endangered species thing? What is this?
I don't know.
We already talked about Viking Raiders and Lothario. So silly. Oh, speaking of silly, my God, they brought back the pies.
You mean this very melted shaving cream in a tin? Yeah.
Dupai Tony, she calls herself.
Which, I was like, oh, writers, why are you trying to make that a thing? Like,
everything must be alliteration. Sorry, that was a Paul Heyman. I was going to do Vince, and then suddenly I was like, no, Paul does alliteration. But yes, Dupai Tony.
Dupai Tony. With, again, like, clearly they set up the prop way too soon because that shaving cream was melted.
Yeah, it was not great. I see Mod Dan saying Xia versus Shayna feud from this. I can see
Xia and Shayna again. Yeah, as soon as Shayna stops being a weird prop. Well, wait, she had a... Oh, no.
She had a match against Sasha Banks. Sasha. And lost.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Remember when everyone was like, now Shayna's going to be like a ass-kicking heel because she's on her own and she's a singles competitor again.
Fools!
And now she's losing again.
Yeah, it wasn't because she was being held back by Nia. It's because they have no ideas.
They don't. And by the way, like going to just fast forward to the Charlotte promo, was there anything in there that you can remember? Because
don't care.
I got nothing other than her walking up the stage, seeing Tony come out, but then having to turn her back real quick as to pretend she didn't. And the camera catches it all. I felt so bad for Charlotte on that one. It was just,
she didn't even take the pie well, like it hit like the top of her hair. And I was like,
can't mess up the makeup, man. You can't.
Like, who cares? You're off TV for the rest of the night. Do your bit. It's not hard. It's shaving cream because that's easier to wash out. Like,
I just love, like, Tony is like so excited. She's like bouncing up and down.
She did great. Tony Storm did very good. Like her promo, excellent. And then the shaving cream bit was good. It was just, I feel like Charlotte really phoned it in last night.
They're going to do New Day and the Usos at day one. I don't hate it, but at the same time, I know.
Who cares?
Same thing. They're going to keep putting on banger matches and people are going to just keep being like, fine, put on a banger match. It's fine. They do a DQ finish with Woods and Jey Uso. I will say this much. At Rock Bottom pay-per-view in 1998, Mankind defeated The Rock for the WWF title on The Rock's own pay-per-view. One could argue that day one is named after the Usos.
It absolutely is. Love it.
As they put up their SmackDown tag titles against the New Day, who will most likely defeat the Usos at their aptly named day one pay-per-view.
God, the Usos just love losing now.
They really do. And then have Roman lose to Brock at that show too. Have the whole bloodline go down in flames at the random first of the year pay-per-view that people are like kind of in a hangover haze getting through. I'm going to be sitting there on a watch along being like, oh man, how was your New Year? And then like three of the people there are going to be like, I don't drink.
Yeah, no one else drinks.
I swear to God, I love Fightful folk, but man, nobody drinks at Fightful.
Bunch of okay,
everybody square Fightful, that's right. Report that. Joel Pearl, who does work with Fightful, says everyone at Fightful is a square. Anyway, was there anything else? So Tony Storm again.
Yeah, what did Tony Storm again? Tony what Storm happened again.
It's gonna be it. The hangover. We're gonna sit there just being like, oh man, where did we leave Brock?
They do love a celebrity tie-in. They can probably get Zach Galifianakis. I don't think it's
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
I want him to replace Paul Heyman as the manager.
Wise man. Wise man.
Yes. What can I do for you, Tribal Chief? You want to appear on Between Two Ferns with me next week?
Yeah. Oh, man. That'd be a good tie-in. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, while we're at it, we'll have The Rock show up at day one because he won't be busy or anything.
Also for him not to be at the Survivor Series show and then just be there. Oh my gosh.
Oh, drop my pen. All right, whatever. So that's what I get for flickering with stuff on the air. Cesaro, Sheamus.
Don't be flickering it. Oh yeah, the breakup. Oh.
The bar reunion.
No, they're so heartbroken. Ridge Holland's a better man than Cesaro ever was.
One of them yelled to each other, I love you.
A brother to me.
Yeah, it was a Cesaro yelling at Sheamus. You were like a brother. I loved you. And then all of a sudden he lost the match.
Sheamus should have lost. I find that infinitely more interesting than this. I don't understand what we're doing. And the story was, the broken heart bar breakup many years on.
It's like you guys have been around. What's going on here? What are we doing?
They've definitely encountered each other, and I'm pretty sure tagged again since. Like, it's been a whole thing. But Ridge Holland was a better man than you ever were. And I was like, okay.
Story of my life. So before we talked about the whole half hour leading to whatever happened at the end of it, with Sammy and Roman and Brock and all that stuff. We did talk about the Sonya and Adam Pearce dynamic, and Naomi goes up to Sonya Deville and is like, I want a match. And Deville's like, all right, I'll give you a match when I take off my suit. And it's like, okay, so she's wearing the suit. She's the boss. She takes off the suit. She's not the boss. Meanwhile, they wrestled in a tag
late tonight in the hotel, maybe.
Kind of. Felt real weird.
Yeah.
But then she slaps Naomi as an acceptance of the match, which I'm sitting there being like, wait a minute. Now we're just abusing power, right?
And employees.
And that exactly. And that is like, this match is not gonna happen next week.
No, and then we get an announcement that it's happening next week. And I was like, wait, no. So it's like when they were having the promo, it seemed like when I take my suit off is when I like hang my suit up, when I stop doing this job is what I took away from it. That's right. But then she slapped her and it's happening next week, apparently, which contradicts. What? So that sentence meant nothing other than maybe when I go to bed tonight. Like, I don't understand.
I was I didn't even know what to think because I'm sitting there just being like, imagine if you had brought in Xia Li as the heel and then you could do this silly. The match isn't happening. You're going to face this woman. And it's a debuting Xia Li who beats up Naomi. Both look good. They're going to rematch them a million times over. But at least it's something.
They might still do it.
Why?
Because Xia Li's the protector and Sonya Deville fed her a fake story about all the harm that has been rained down upon her by Naomi.
Okay, there's actually a good story there where you bring her in and you turn the entire story. No, they're not. But I love Mod Mike just being like, Sonya should make herself the main event. Yes. That's actually not a bad idea.
That would be good. Do it.
Man, we all just want to touch our boss's back. Sorry, I'm reading messages.
I don't think WWE's gonna pick you up with that attitude. No, actually, no, true. You know what? They might be more likely to pick you up. Sorry.
Buddy, I book the worst possible scenarios. I don't think any company wants to talk to me ever.
Still better than what they write, whatever.
Sometimes. So the finish, not the finish, but the end of the night was Sammy getting beat up by Brock Lesnar. And then Lesnar picks him up, puts him in the corner, and is like, oh, they'll never see you if you're dead. And then out comes Roman Reigns. They have a 2-second match, and that's it. 15 seconds, according to the Torch.
End of show.
And that's the end of the show. And Sammy was, Reigns over Sammy was just like, I like you, man. We didn't have to do this. And I'm like, what is going on? Everyone likes each other at work, but nobody likes each other at work.
Yeah. He won a match. Like, really did make that whole battle royal even more pointless than it was.
Oh, that's so upsetting to think about. Because again, it could have been Jeff Hardy getting the victory and then Jeff Hardy versus Roman at TLC. Or sorry, Jeff Hardy versus Roman at day one in a TLC match. We could have done it. We could have been there. We could have been there.
You set it up. Like,
oh, then they just yanked. They're like, oh, this dickhead, he wants it. We're not going to do it. WWE is reading my Twitter feed exclusively.
Yeah.
And then anti-booking.
Yeah, doing the opposite.
And then Impact, on the other hand, is like, oh, we haven't thought about Moose cashing in. Let's do that. We haven't thought about Tyrus winning the 10 pounds of gold and bringing it to Fox friggin' News. They're not there yet. But if you want to get there with us, drop us a thumbs up here. If you're listening to us in the audio realm, go ahead. Leave us a 5-star review. And tell your friends, man. Share the video around. Tell them that we're doing this content every Wednesday, every Sunday at noon Eastern. Talking about wrestling of all sorts. We interact with you guys. We love you guys. Let's keep going. Let's go into, do you want to talk about Dynamite?
Let's talk about Dynamite. I got a lot to say about Dynamite.
Good, because I do and I don't all at the same time. So let's go. Yeah. Americanson, Dragonson, Bryanson, Danielson. One day I'll do that without stuttering. Takes on Allen Angels. And again, a fun, good match. I thought this was going to end with Angels losing, of course. Ten, who was also from Georgia, coming out, getting his ass beat by Brian. And then Anna Jay coming out and being put in the LaBelle lock because Cowboy is at, we're talking about Adam Page, Hangman is at the announce desk and he's been told he cannot leave the announce desk or else he's forfeiting and he's going to lose and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, what a way to get heat on Danielson. Have Anna Jay in the LaBelle lock with Hangman can't do anything and have John Silver make the save.
Yeah,
but they didn't do that. Nice. They kind of went just straight to the silver parts.
I feel like they've been doing that a little bit much lately. We'll talk about that in some other segments too. But
doing what? Trying to just
go
straight
right
to it?
It. And I think it's the mistake in a few ways. But anyway,
it was good though. I mean, listen, the match was fun.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fun. If match was fun, and yeah, we just went straight to Johnny Hungy, which you know later on Rampage they put together a good package for that.
Yes, I like that they covered that up.
Yeah, it was good.
I still want to see Silver, after he loses to Brian, have Reynolds come out and challenge Brian at Rampage. Just
and maybe
rack
that's,
up another one.
Yeah, maybe that's what we're doing, right? Where they just don't want to do kind of a similar thing.
Yeah. Did you see the Winter is Coming graphic where it says Wangman?
Those aren't even close on the keyboard, by the way.
No, it's because of the font that they chose.
Oh,
so the H looks like a W. And apparently, Mod Mike's saying they fixed it. That sucks.
I was wondering where that came from. Why everyone was? I thought it was just because he's very manly.
Yeah, there you go. Ace wants to see Brian Danielson. Oh my God, I'm gonna get it right one day. He wants to see Brian Danielson versus.
It's
Anna
written
Jay.
Down. You were reading,
buddy. My window is like this big because I have my notes in front of me.
No. See, it's because you're a WWE shill.
That's right. Bring me on for the pre-show, bud.
Yeah,
let's do it. All right. Do you want to talk about the Miro segment?
Great.
Miro wants to fight God.
Called God an asshole.
Is he fighting God? Who's going to tag up with God here?
I don't know. I would love to see Miro versus God. Just watching a man like that enormous, just play fight with himself sounds funny as hell to me. Do it.
I mean, listen, if God's going to get his win back anywhere after being jobbed out in WWE, it's AEW, right? Yeah. All the WWE guys come around and they get made there. Maybe not. Punk and Moriarty. Very good match.
Very good match. Went longer, and it feels like it's kind of leaning into the story we're talking about. You know, we're like, Punk had a hard time. He's having a hard time hanging with these young kids. So it's a good build to keep Punk strong, but prepping him for that loss.
That what I forget what it was, but that 2.999 from Moriarty on Punk, that sold me. I was like, holy shit. Very close. I like that.
Yeah.
But Punk gets the win, which, again, not surprising. We talked about it on our show. But it went basically as we would expect it to have, where they made it look believable that Moriarty could win. They made it look believable that Punk would have a bit of a struggle. And then MJF came out at the end. And what did you think?
He was on commentary. Yeah, yeah. Here's where things took a deep turn. You remember how I was saying that I didn't think that they were going to do the head-to-head talk off so quickly?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think they should have, because they clearly didn't have that much prepped, because this sucked. I really didn't like this at all. Like, made no sense. I don't get the Britt Baker bullshit, because, like, it has nothing to do. What is that even about? It's nothing. Did CM Punk try to hit on Britt Baker randomly?
The only thing I can see is that they're going to try and bring in Adam Cole as the next opponent for Punk as a way to
I didn't see them flirt on screen. I don't think they've ever connected in any way. Like,
they're doing that thing where they expect any fan to be watching all of the shoulder product, all of the news.
Okay. Everything. So there is something.
Yeah. Like, Punk is, they don't hang out on vlogs or anything like that.
No,
Punk doesn't really do the vlogs thing. It's more like Punk has said numerous times in interviews that he's a big fan of Britt Baker. After shows, he has worn, there you go. He's worn her jacket for a post-show interview. Like, again, these are little things that just...
Okay, so not...
They're things that are nothing.
A non-loser would think nothing of any of that, but whatever. Like, most people have friends.
God. And we talk about this with AEW. It's one of their downfalls is the amount of shoulder programming that they expect people to watch in order to keep up with their main product.
Okay, well, here's
that way.
That aside, both men sucked. Like, the promos were both delivered very poorly. They were uninteresting. It came down to one pump chump, tiny dick. Like, I don't care. This was bad. This was really, really bad and beneath both of them. Like, they're both very, very talented on the mic. Sucked. Sucked a lot. Was really disappointed.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted more. I don't like the PG Punk thing. I think it's, but at the same time, is that MJF's way of garnering heat?
I don't know. The face off was bad. Like, the lines weren't clever. They weren't, like, CM Punk tripped over one pretty badly. Like, and it was like the big line.
Yeah.
So it didn't land for me at all. Was really disappointed.
I see in the chat that they're talking about, you know, Punk made reference to Britt taking MJF's place on the pillars,
those don't connect. That doesn't line up. It's not like him saying a positive thing about a woman is not him trying to sleep with her. And that's insane. Like, that's an insane way to even see the world. So, like, if that's where MJF's coming from, I don't, like, normal people don't get there with that one line. So,
yeah, it feels like they're trying to almost force an Adam Cole CM Punk match,
or
make some sort of story up. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed, because, like I said, they didn't need to go to their well put together thing so quickly. We could have waited another couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's looking like we'll get Wardlow and Punk at Winter Is Coming, like you and I talked about.
Yeah.
And then, of course, let's just start bringing on members. Let's do noted chair pervert Sean Spears. Let's have a match with him, with Punk. Let's have a match with the members of FTR. We talked about that on our show. Leading up to MJF, now it doesn't have to be at Revolution. It could easily be at the first Dynamite on TBS.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Make that, because Revolution's probably going to be beginning of March at this point. And that's a long way away. Like, that's... You can't just keep doing this.
Especially if they kind of shot their shot in week one, like, or week two.
Exactly. They really blew their load real quick, and they didn't have to do it that way. But again, the match will be fine. It just We need something. Function gain some weight.
Cultivate mass.
That's right. He should be just like Ishii.
Is he a vegan? Is Punk vegan?
I don't know if he's straight edge.
I just picture him as a vegan.
I know. I mean, Brian.
No, he had the ice cream bars. So at least he may be a vegetarian, but not a
maybe. I don't know. Someone else can interview and ask Punk those questions.
Yeah.
We don't interview people yet or at all.
You can.
You don't want to talk to wrestlers. I get it.
I don't want to talk to wrestlers. Danhausen, maybe. I'll
tell you what. How about on December 23rd at Ryerson University, you and I will talk to our pal RJ City instead.
Okay.
When Greektown Wrestling makes its return. How's that? I'm very excited for that show. If you're in Toronto,
hey, did you see Eric Young? Yeah, calling out Channing Decker. Did you not see that?
No, but
Eric Young's going to be there. I think he's the main event.
Oh, that's great. Eric Young and Channing Decker at, there you go, Greektown Pro Wrestling in Toronto at Ryerson University. Tickets drop tonight, 7 p.m. on their Twitter. Go check it out. We'll be there with bells on, hopefully. Hopefully. And it'll be fun. So let's keep going. Adam Cole comes out, baby, and he's just doing the walk around the whole ring, which is hilarious.
let me rip on AEW for this, because again, this is a bad TV, but clearly for the traveling circus bit. Like Adam Cole doing his full entrance, going down to the ring, and then having to walk back up the ramp to sit on commentary. And I was like,
it's not so bad.
Like, it's dumb. I, as a television viewer, don't want to see the same thing every week just because. So I'm fine if you play a little bit of Adam Cole's music, since it says the boom and the Adam Cole baby earlier in the song, if you don't notice. He could have just came out, sat down at the commentary table. It was a bit silly. But again, it's for the live audience. I understand why it's happening. It's just silly.
Orange Cassidy comes out, speaking of silly, and then they do the beat down, and eventually a super BTE trigger, and then the best friends, they show up. Yeah. Again, just sure. I don't know.
I like the super kick bit where they're like the little tip.
The fake super
kick. Yeah, I thought that was cute. That was good.
I'm just ready. I'm ready for something more to happen. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
it just kind of happened. Wardlow took on AC Adams in a squash, and then noted Sean Pervert Chair Spears beats up AC Adams, and
yeah,
Wardlow's like, hey man, what the hell?
He's like, I have to get out my perversions.
Anyway, speaking of perversion, the Gun Club, Billy and Colton take on Sting and Darby Allin. They're telling you it's Sting's first match in Atlanta in 14 years. And I love this. So Sting is 62 years old.
Yes.
Billy is 58 years old.
Yes.
Colton Gunn is 30 years old. The youngest person in the match is Darby Allin at 28 years old. The median age for this match was 44 years old.
Yep.
And it's a fine match. It's
fun. It was fun.
Sting, I really like Sting wearing the face paint of his son.
He's trying to relate to his son. I get it. Right.
He's proving relatability. He loves the Misfits now, just like his son Darby. Do you think Sting starts making art house indie films?
Oh, please give me one. And let it be so bad. Like, let him not be good at it. Like, Darby's already not good at it, but let Sting be like very uncomfortable with the medium, just like not sure, like trying to understand the tropes and just kind of like bungling it a little bit.
Meanwhile, the Gun Club's undefeated streak comes to an end.
Oh no.
Sting pins Colton Gunn, not Billy. That's upsetting.
Why wouldn't you
take the pin, Billy? Your son's been toiling away, and what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know.
Can't take that pin.
Billy even got a Famouser off. It's wild.
Yeah, actually, it was really good, too.
Yeah.
Jericho teleported from the UK, where he currently is, to Atlanta to have a promo, where he then got beat up by 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. So he'll be out until about, I don't know, December the 15th.
Is that his flight home?
He comes back on the 12th. That's the end of the Fozzy gigs in the UK. And we'll see you on the 15th, CJ.
Yeah. It's nice to have a bit of a reprieve on Friday nights.
This is the part of the show, Dynamite, not our show. Our show is always high energy and super awesome. But for some reason, the audio just crapped out. The audience was gone out of the mix during this Leo Rush Team Taz segment.
Yeah.
It felt like I could hear. So I can't pull them up, but I listen to most of the shows on noise canceling headphones. So I'm fully immersed, blah, blah, blah. And I can hear the air conditioning like in the building. And it's not a good feeling. At least I told someone this in DMs as well. Like when people give shit to WWE for like bringing in sound, most sports, entertainment, whatever, they had that room tone. They had that baseline
sound.
Yeah,
you have to, or else it sounds weird.
And so one thing that AEW's production could really use is that baseline sound of the arena. Because if you can just have the murmuring there, it's a lot more organic. Whereas with WWE, I don't like the whole, like, they'll pipe in the cheers, they'll pipe in the boos, and they'll really
try to
push
guide
it.
The show in the way that they want. Whereas you don't need to do
that's
that,
different.
But you should have just like the like a baseline crowd walla type thing to keep it sounding natural.
Yeah. So this was gone.
AEW has I think it's just a lot of people hiring their friends and not necessarily the best people for the job sometimes, because like they have some production things that like are quirky. And I know DDP's company was like doing the some of the video package work for a while, and I was like, well, I didn't know DDP had video.
They've done movies. Okay. They're fine.
Which ones? What movies?
They did the Jake the Snake documentary. That was really good.
Documentary. Yeah. I just make sure it's not what's that, Copper Bill or whatever the hell it was.
I have no idea what that is, but
it's okay. Dustin is in a movie, and he is not a great actor.
Woof, sorry to hear that. I want, funny. I lost my train of thought because I just read a really funny headline by accident. We'll talk about it in the War Games stuff.
War Games.
Yeah, but they took a bunch of like WCW guys from their production days, and they brought them in. So that's kind of an AEW thing that they just need to work on it. They're trying to present. They're still going through a lot of the growing pains.
It's growing pains. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. Anyway, they're talking about the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal. And again, like Rush and Taz, there's something there, but like Taz is just being like, hey, get to the point. Ah, what are you doing
here? I hate Taz and Ricky Starks on commentary together. It drives me nuts.
Every week.
Like, I really hate it. Because, again, Taz will not drop his in-character stuff, and it's so annoying to me. Because he's trying to talk about Sammy Guevara. I'm jumping to Friday, but like he's trying to talk about Sammy Guevara. He's like, he's great, but I don't like the guy. But I don't like the guy. But I respect the guy. But like he's constantly juggling, because Taz is a professional and very good at his job, so he won't let any thread die. But it's ruining the commentary.
Like, you sounded like Meltzer when you were doing that.
I've never heard Meltzer speak.
I don't like the guy. I mean, I'm like, oh, I like the guy, but I don't really like the guy. But you know what I'm saying? It's just like back in 92 when I was liking the guy. Now I don't really like him as much as I did in 1994. But by the way, did you remember the time that we had? Anyway.
Yeah. So that's what I'm getting from Taz right now. And it's just like, you can't be I would prefer if the commentary and the on-screen personalities were different. Please just get different commentators, or have Taz just not be have Team Taz dissolve, like, because he's so good on commentary.
Again, going back to growing pains, I mean, you have JR who's off commentary for the foreseeable future till they say they're hoping to have him back for the New Year Smash show, which again that puts them one guy down, one major voice
one
down.
One when you only need two.
Yeah, well, that's enough.
Like, we could have Excalibur and Shivani on Wednesday nights, and Excalibur and Taz on Friday if they insist on having Taz. Like,
I would even have Paul White come up and do some of the episodes.
Have Paul, because he's been doing that, right? Like, that's what he does on one of the dark shows. Like, just have Excalibur and Paul White, because Excalibur seems to want to work both shows. Like, and he's so good, I don't want him not to. Like,
well, Excalibur is their voice. He is their guy,
and
who
he's
knows
damn good,
and it works. Like, yeah. Regardless, I agree with you. There are certain things that they keep getting screwed out of people being available or unavailable. They had plans for Mark Henry to be behind the counter at Rampage, and that didn't pan out. So they gave it to Stark, because Starks has been dealing with whatever he's been dealing with, injury, not whatever he wants to say. He's not wrestling every week, and it just kind of went the other way, where they started bringing on the guys that they know they can sit on. Taz is actually a really good commentator.
So good. Really love him. But he can't do double duty, because it complicates what you're watching. Like, if he's got a narrative in play, it really, he does too, he's too good at it. He tries to couch everything he says, but keep it grounded in the story. And it's too all over the place.
For those who remember when Taz was in TNA, he was great when he was not part of a group. And then he joined Aces and Eights and he had to do the same thing that he's doing now with Team Taz.
Yeah.
And people were getting sick of it. So I agree with you. I hear you. And I fully agree. Let's move on. TBS Women's Tournament quarterfinal match. Statlander and Soho put on an excellent show. I will say this till my face turns green. Her arms were up, Tim. Statlander's arms were up in the pin.
I thought this match could have been given a little bit more time. But
friends, I would love to do some merch for y'all. Maybe in the new year. If y'all want it, start telling your friends. Start getting us, you know, more in your friends' faces. Mm, we'll do it.
I would like more, to do it. We need that demand. You know, there's a tipping point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this logo over here, this logo, I'd put that on a shirt. I'd do that. Anyway.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, so again, good match. Winner's going to get Nyla Rose. We now know that it's going to be Ruby Soho. And looking forward to that match.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, cool. Jade and La Mera Mera, Thunder Rosa, they're going to go at it in the other one.
Yep.
Are you ready to talk about the main event?
There has been enough talk. It is time for the main event.
Thank you, Mark. The Atlanta Street Fight. There was no Coca-Cola. There were no lemon pepper wings.
Okay. Couple things real quick. One thing that drives me nuts, before this match, they said there are no rules, which is there are victory conditions. So there are rules. So please stop saying that. Just say there's no disqualification. It's fine. You don't need to just make up some nonsense.
Well, I mean, you can. That makes it more fun.
Anyway, there are rules because there was a pinfall in the middle of the ring. There were clearly some rules. Anyway.
It's fine by me. Yeah. So again, fun match. There were no strippers. There was no Ric Flair, thankfully.
Fun match. It's hardcore legend Cody Rhodes did more than put on a fun match, sir.
It was fun.
It feels like that Liza Minnelli. Like, Mama, do you love me, Mama?
crowd was booing Cody, and then they changed their minds.
Cody, because he's a hardcore legend.
Now, hold on. Are we trying to say, like, Cody's back, or are we trying to say
Cody's back? My God,
I think it's back. It's both, baby. So, first of all, I gotta point it out because it got me some clickety clacks on the internet. Arn Anderson falls onto the little gap between the stage and the pyro, and then you didn't see this in the intro? No. So.
Too busy looking at Cody's gaudy gear.
Yeah, so they do the start at the intro, blah blah blah, blah blah blah, and then Arn trips and falls into the little area where there's pyro, and like he's like a turtle, he can't get up, and then Jose comes over and Jose like lifts him up, helps him up out of the crevice, and then beats his ass. It's perfect. Let me help my tag partner. It was very fun.
I saw Jose was shirtless getting his ass beat by Arn Anderson during the picture-in-picture, and I had no idea what was going on. How did we get here?
Everyone was super excited because Jose is suddenly, well, not suddenly, he's very ripped, and people don't know that.
Yeah, he's been wearing that shirt this whole time. Pop that sucker off.
Well, he is a wrestler. They do a lot in the match. They do chains, and, you know, Andrade has a knife, and they have chairs. And they
destroy
use other stuff.
A tablet. My God.
It was a MacBook Air.
Oh, well.
Cheap ass MacBook Air.
No wonder.
Yeah. Just exploded on impact.
Cheap ass, unnecessarily expensive MacBook Air.
Man. Remember when
you want a MacBook Air, I'll make you one that's not a MacBook for half the price.
There we go. Hell yeah. So again, good match. And then the whole match is being the whole feeling is being taken away by people who on the internet are just like, I just want to scrape whatever's on Cody's back off of his back.
It looked like a lot of dead skin.
That's what people were saying. They're saying dead skin. They were saying a bad sunburn that was peeling.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was sitting there. I'm like, that's flame retardant gel.
Yeah, he's wearing burn gel the whole time.
They are doing a thing with the flaming something or other.
At least Taz had the decency to say, oh, I think it was that trash can. Someone was drinking a goo. I was like, what?
Close enough, Taz. Close enough.
He got most of the way there.
Cody goes under the ring at one point and he's like, He pulls out the sledgehammer.
Oh my god! Okay, no. Shovel. First he pulls out a kendo stick and says, "Nah, thank you. Good, Cody. Good, yes, Cody.
You are a big
saying
fan
no
of Cody
to kendo now. Sticks. Okay. Kendo yeah. sticks. Yeah. Pulls out the sledgehammer. Is like, nah. And he's like, oh, you realize that's not your thing. Got it. Good. You learned.
I'd like to think that was him giving a subtle nod to Triple H and not being like, haha, fuck Triple H.
I
think
no, it's no, just I, more of a, well, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say it is.
I think because Rhodes. Of the health stuff with Hunter, they're just kind of like yeah, laying off, being yeah. a dick about it.
I mean, he didn't hit a chair with it, so I don't care.
Yeah, but Jose comes down with a taser, which I...
It's like, yes!
I'm sitting there like, we're going to do the Starrcade 98 finish with the cattle prod, and Scott Hall is going to tase Goldberg, and then big finish, and we're done.
Oh, it was excellent, yeah.
Instead, the big finish is they pull out a table and then out comes
golden
this...
shovel. He golden shovels Jose right in the face. Yeah, like, listen, I don't everyone, know how, like, just square in the one.
Fair.
Is that a reference to something again that I don't understand? Why is there a golden shovel?
Golden shovel is a Triple H burial thing where they used to say because he was the champion and he would win all his matches, he would bury everyone, therefore the champion with the golden shovel. And because he had the book, because he was dating the boss's daughter, he would be able to book himself.
I knew it was something about burying. I didn't realize it was some sort of weird, like, oh, WWE is mean to people like Cody Rhodes.
No, it's not even that. Remember, Cody also came out in a skull-laden throne and then beat it with a sledgehammer
that which I hated. Like, I was like, oh, I don't like Cody Rhodes. Like,
yeah, look up
that
look
was
up
the foundation of this, like,
yeah, this is when you weren't watching, but watch the or okay. look up the Reign of Terror for Triple H. That's when he had the title and was like never losing it, and that hilarious. Includes the Booker T incident at WrestleMania yeah. where he was going to drop it to Booker T and then he didn't drop it to Booker T and it never made Booker, blah blah blah, whole thing. Anyway, let's go to the finish. They set up a table. They're going for what looked like a superplex spot. And then out comes this unidentified woman in a hoodie and a mask in a match that has no rules. And still, for some reason, Brandy decides that she needs to put lighter fluid all over the table and then light it on fire.
Y'all bad parents.
This is, I'm pretty sure. So Cody does the move, and it's more Andrade, or it's more Cody that goes through the table.
Cody,
than Andrade.
Cody is very, I was like, oh, that looks like a great sliced bread by Andrade.
Right. Cody gets the pin, he gets the win, but also, like, I feel like part of me was thinking, like, Brandy was getting back at Cody for, like, dressing the baby wrong one night. This is how she retaliates.
Oh, man. That cheap veneer they put on that tables. I don't know that they had tested that because it melted so quick. Like, I think that thing would have lit up like that without the lighter fluid.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, it sticks to Cody, who remains on fire through the pinfall. A piece of veneer falls onto Andrade, who's like, ah! As he's being pinned.
Someone had posted a photo.
Badass.
Someone posted a photo of Cody's back the next day. That whatever that gel should have gone on in the middle of the match, not at the beginning.
The gel, it does nothing.
It does nothing. It's the goggles.
It does nothing.
I just wanted, like, I don't know. There could have been something better there. It's weird.
It looked good. I don't care. He was on fire while he was pinning a man. I don't care. Hardcore legend Cody Rhodes.
Let's fast forward. We'll get through Rampage and then we'll do the predictions for War Games.
Oh my god, we still have so much show. I'm sorry, people.
There isn't that much. Cargill beats Jinai Kai in a squash. Jade Cargill,
that's not good.
She's fine. My problem with Jade was just there were a couple of things there where I was like, not a big fan.
Signature move, pump kick, biffed in the one post-match move. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't like that. And then also, like, she did the glam slam, which she calls something else. And then when she does the turnaround to the pin, I know this is a very WWE thing, but this is something I'm acclimatized to, like, I'm used to it. And that is Jade going for the pin, but she's not facing hard cam. She's facing the audience as the pin happens. So it just forces a camera to go and get the reaction shot. That again, that's in my brain. That is a WWE thing. But if you're going to get, I think the pin should often be hard cam or just very accessible with the cameras at ringside.
Yeah, at least do like a three-quarter cheat type thing, you know?
Yeah,
something.
That's fine. So they did that. They opened up with Sammy Guevara and Tony Nese. For some reason,
I spent most of this match looking at Tony Nese's insane abs.
Right? It's crazy.
Like, my God.
That's what he's
talking about. Eight abs. Holy hell.
Tony Nese is not known for his knees. He's known for his Tony abs.
That's damn sure.
Nese, for some reason, on the AEW website, spells his name with two E's, but all of his gear is one E because his name is Nese with one E.
Yeah, and I thought the package said one E too, like his the lower thirds and stuff.
Oh, never mind. They fixed it.
Okay. It was just a typo. Oh, I was like, no,
If you're on the Dynamite results, it has Tony Nese with two E's. If you're on the Rampage results, it goes Tony Nese with one E.
Okay. Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure the lower third had one E. So anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, they got to figure that out. Everyone's got to start spelling it with three E's.
No more Wang.
Because he's that good. A good match. Again, we don't really talk about a lot of the moves and stuff. We don't go through that.
This one was stellar. I really enjoyed it.
It was a good hot open. They flipped, they flopped, they did the whole thing, and Sammy gets another win. He is now, I think that was his fifth defense of the
TNT. Oh my god, man, so many. Like, are they doing some of these on Dark and stuff?
He's
just showing up. There's just not a lot of narrative for Sammy Guevara right now. I get it. Ribs hurt a little bit. I don't know. I can't even remember what that's from.
You got to do the voice.
Sammy Guevara.
Thank you. Christian Cage, Jurassic Express. I'm waiting for the churn from Christian.
It's not
maybe
coming.
Where's cost Marco Jungle Stunt? Boy and Luchasaurus?
Where is Marco Stunt? Did he grow into Christian?
So Marco Stunt is now Christian.
The role of Marco Stunt tonight will be played by Christian Cage.
Could you imagine? Tony Khan comes out all serious, being like, guys, little understudy. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Hear me out. Marco turns on Jungle Express. Fine by me. Jurassic Express. Whatever. This is the same name. Okay. Either way. I think that Christian, the Christian we talk is right. Ma Danzang, it leads to the turn because he keeps saying, we've been on a roll. We've talked about momentum. We're going to win the AEW Tag Team Championships. It's Lucha Boy, it's Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy are going to win the tag titles.
And when they lose to Lucha Bros, maybe that's what they're going to, we'll do it there. We've been just setting up this turn for a while, but I guess we'll just keep moving the goalpost. And at this point, I think when Jungle Express loses to the Lucha Bros, that should be when he flips out and just gets frustrated. He's like, I thought you guys were winners.
Four-door Soup is saying, I've been asking where Marco has been for weeks and I want answers. I'm gonna give you breaking news. You heard it here first. He's currently hanging out with Jack Evans getting his hair cut. Anyway, Eddie Kingston's backstage and he's like, I don't care about Chris Jericho. I'm gonna beat you shit. And that's it. Good little promo, and that's all I needed.
He's like, we're not teaming. Don't put me in there.
Yeah, exactly. Bucks do tag action versus Best Friends next week on Dynamite. That's a promo. And then they're like, hey, Brandon, you're stupid. Turn off the camera.
Stupid, dumbass. So many double adjectives in that promo. We saw Don Callis walk in the background. Good to see he's getting paid.
Yeah, exactly. He's still around. And apparently, yes, Ma Dan says that was Sammy's fourth defense of the title. Fish, Page, Lethal, and Nese.
That makes more sense to me. Yeah. So I've seen.
Next up should be Scorpio Sky. Scorpio Sky should be the next defense, and Scorpio Sky should win.
I agree.
We get to Pac and Penta taking on FTR.
Is Rey Fénix hurt again? Is he actually hurt?
Okay, so last night was Triple Mania Regia in Mexico.
So he's hurt.
No, Phoenix was on. Okay. Phoenix was in the match. Apparently, it was a visa issue.
Yeah, they said travel issues too. So I was confused why the narrative was he's hurt, but also travel issues.
Well, that's the problem. So instead, no, it was that. There's also another side of it. If it was not actually visa issues, they're running the same match twice because Rampage was taped on Wednesday, but it aired on Friday. So let's just say for the sake of airing, twice in two nights, because FTR and Lucha Bros had a AAA tag title match last night and it turned into a ladder match. AAA is a car crash and it's hilarious. If you didn't watch the show, go ahead and just find it. It's weird. Anyway, they had a match and Penta and Phoenix were in that match last night. But my thought was maybe because of Phoenix and Penta having this match at Rampage, they kind of made it make good for AAA and said, we'll put Pac in instead. Yada, yada, yada. Phoenix isn't there. Sure. Anyway.
Sure. And Pac has been blinded because he got the miss to the eye. So that's a big narrative point we got to hit.
Yeah, it was good, actually. He really blasted his eye with it, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Are you talking about the black on Pac violence just then? Is that what you're talking about?
Black on Pac violence.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how we end the show with a little blood on his hands.
That was weird too. Where did the blood came from? Him trying to gouge out his eyes.
But did he actually do it? What is going on?
Somebody had a blood pack, I guess. Yeah. It was cool. I mean, listen, it was the match was great. The match was fun. I couldn't sit there and watch it for 20, 25 minutes. I was starting to get a little antsy.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I'll say is that the commentary did themselves a bit of a disservice by not understanding what an injured eye would do to you, which Taz is very good at knowing anatomy stuff. And no one seemed to get depth perception as the one thing that would really be a difficulty here. They're like, oh, he tripped because he couldn't see the rope. And I was like, yeah, well, I mean, depth perception, it's tough when you're trying to gauge distance. Anyway, it was just kind of odd.
I just came to the realization of something. Hmm. So I missed what I thought was the first fall. This match was not 2 out of 3 falls.
No, it was not. It was just one.
It was supposed to be when it was Phoenix and Penta.
Yeah.
When it was Lucha Bros FTR, it was supposed to be 2 out of 3 falls. And they changed
it. No, it was a regular-ass match. Wasn't it also supposed to be for the title?
No, maybe it was.
I think it was because FTR was talking about becoming the 2-time champions here. So I think it was supposed to be for one title,
not both.
Not both.
Supposed to be for the AAA title, I think.
No, it's supposed to be for the AEW. They said in the promo with Mark Henry, they're like, we were supposed to become... Oh, no, maybe they're mad about Full Gear. Never mind.
Yeah, I think it was for the AAA titles. Either way, doesn't matter. It was... when they put Pac in the match, they dropped the 2 out of 3 falls. Sure, I didn't realize that. I was watching the match and I was like, did I miss the first fall?
No.
Right. Well, anyway, the Pac's blood is on Malakai Black's hand.
Black on Pac violence.
Does Pac now have to wear 2 eye patches?
Look, if it becomes Pac getting more and more hurt every single week and being like, am I an invalid? Let me fight. Where he's like, do I look blind? He's like, I may be blind now. But
he's got the stick.
Do it. Have Pac wrestle a match without being able to see. I think he can do it. I think he can do it well. And just have him be like the bit from the Holy Grail, right? Where the guy just... He just keeps hurting bits of his body and he's like, I'm not down yet. Hilarious.
Okay, so Ma Dan's saying that it was for the AEW tag titles originally, not the AAA titles. It was just a lot of a convoluted mess.
There's just we're doing with 2 promotion stuff here that it's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, let's do a blindfold match. That's right.
Do it. For Malakai Pac. Black. Look, Malakai Black was born in the dark. So let's do that.
Guys, hear me out. Eye for an eye.
Mm.
TK, come on, God. Eye for an eye.
Yeah. Do it better. It's not hard.
That's right. You can do it better.
You can do it better than they did.
Yeah. And you know what you can also do better than us? You can leave us a thumbs up. Huh? Maybe drop a comment here if you're watching late. Subscribe to the channel. You know, hang out with us. Come on. Hang out with us sometime. Finally, we've got predictions, war games tonight. By the way, in our Discord, there's a link in the video description. It's free to join. We do predictions there too. After we're done here, we're going to go over to the Discord and we're going to add our predictions because War Games is tonight. You can add yours there when you join. Let's go. Are you ready to run down the card?
Yes.
Tim, yes. Cameron Grimes, Duke Hudson is a hair versus hair match. I'm sorry, I meant to say Cameron Grimes versus
Cameron Grimes.
Thank you. Taking on Duke Hudson. That's a match for hair versus hair. Who wins this match? Who gets shaved? Please. Busy Bald.
Please have Duke Hudson lose.
I agree.
Do not ruin Cameron Grimes.
I don't need to see Cameron Grimes without his hair. I need to see Cameron Grimes sticking with the current look he's got. Get it. So we're both in agreement there. That's fine by me.
Mm-hmm.
For the NXT Tag Team Championships, Imperium, that is the team of Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel, take on, for some reason, Kyle O'Reilly and Van Wagner. By the way, Kyle O'Reilly did not understand the assignment on Tuesday, won his match, stuck around the territory. Why? Anyway, NXT Tag Titles.
Drop the ball, Cor.
Just one thing. All I wanted was one thing. Who wins this match for the tag team champions?
Imperium.
Could you imagine if Kyle and Von Wagner win and the internet is just like, what?
It's possible.
Kyle O'Reilly's like, yeah, I signed a 7-year deal, bitches.
It's possible. It's very possible.
I do see Imperium winning as well. Yeah. And that's that. For the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, Roderick Strong.
Whoa, I forgot that's still a belt.
Yeah, well, don't worry, because it might not be after Roddy Strong with the Diamond Mine takes on Joel Gacy, that's me, for the Cruiserweight title.
Wait, why? What?
Okay, so for this match, the 205 limit has been nullified.
Okay, sure.
Because Joe Gacy, I am not 205 pounds. I'm sorry.
Okay, cool. I would like you to win. And then I would like you to throw that belt that I remember being introduced not that very long ago right in the trash.
I think I win the match. Joe Gacy wins the match, and he becomes the NXT Inclusive Weight Championship.
Better. That's fine.
I think that's where we're going.
I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
I mainly said the Kyle O'Reilly stuff just to upset Mod Dan.
Possible.
Oh my God. Elliot's saying that Kyle O'Reilly takes the NXT tag title to AEW. Just one of them. He just takes one of them and he puts it in the trash. And then TK's like, where's the other one? And he's like, I couldn't convince him, man. He didn't want to leave. Anyway. So that's that one. In the women's War Games match, it's team Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, Cora Jade, and Kaylee Ray. I was more Scottish than it should have been. Taking on the team of Dakota Kai and Toxic Attraction, Mandy Rose, JC Jane, Gigi Dolin. Who comes out of this as the winners, do you think?
Toxic Attraction.
Really?
Yeah.
I agree, actually.
Yeah, they're the focal point of NXT now. So,
and this time, I think they win because Kaylee Ray actually helps Toxic Attraction win and turns on the other three.
Yep. Sounds right to me.
That's what I want. Kaylee Ray should have been introduced as a heel. She should have been kept as a heel. I don't know why they did this, unless it's that she's a turncoat. If this ends up being that we're going to get to Kaylee Ray versus Mandy Rose for the NXT Women's Championship, sure.
Have that be a deal they made. Have that be a deal they made before the match.
Yeah, exactly. Let's bring Mako Satomura to the US. I agree. And then finally, in the men's War Games match, it is 1.0, 2.0, sorry, Black and Gold. You can't call them 1.0 because then it looks like they're... Anyway. Team Black and Gold is NXT champion Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight. Yeah! Taking on Team 2.0, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Grayson Waller, and Tony D'Angelo. And Trick Williams is going to be there too.
Yeah, he'll be there outside, I think, right?
He'll probably find a way inside. Black and Gold has... They don't have the advantage. Team 2.0 has the advantage.
Oh, gee.
Because Bron Breakker won himself that match, the ladder match.
Yep.
By the way, Bron Breakker admits that that name was his idea. So,
I don't
suck
know.
At I wrestling like, fans.
I feel like people just say that when they're in the WWE. They'll just do. Eat like they toe the company line while they're there, and then they're like, "Nah, it's full of shit."
So speaking of Graham Matthews at Daily DDT, Breakker admitted to the name change being his idea. We were just sitting around. Should I do it in Bron Breakker's voice?
Yeah, obviously.
We were just sitting around one day, and I'm like, well. I used to block people in football, and I used to try to break them in half. That was literally what I tried to do. Snap them in half and break them. What if I'm the breaker? This is awful sounding, I know. What if I'm the breaker? I break people. Breaker. And then it came to me. Bron is part of my first name, and that's what we went with.
He so was they the really are this meat-headed football. When they come up with quote-unquote ideas, eh?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, that's literally the jokes that I make when people... Anyway, man...
And then Breakker talking about being references are fine and he wants to create a legacy of his own. He says, I'm not going to do the voice again. What my dad and uncle did before me with some of their promos and stuff that they've done, they've all laid the groundwork. There's all this stuff out there for me to use if I want to. Obviously, I'm not going to bank my entire... And then .. That's not what I'm going for.
Kind of so far is though, but anyway.
I want to make a name for myself that stands on my own, but there's certain things out there we can use.
Yeah, long way to go, bud. You're young.
We'll see. I get it. Keith Lee also said...
So that's exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Like, a lot of people say that afterwards, after they get fired, that it wasn't the case, but who knows? Regardless, yeah, Bron Breakker we'll standing know. By it says it was his idea.
It's fine. That. It's a bad name. I don't care whose idea it was.
Yeah, exactly. Like, now everyone again, has to stop making fun of it because it's his idea, therefore it's good. Same thing. See, that backfired on Shane... Thorn so bad. when just the Crocodile saying. Dundee gimmick came up.
Yeah, it didn't work out for Chelsea Green either. None of hers made TV. Like, yeah, I'm just saying, if you have writing staff whose job and entire passion is coming up with good ideas, then maybe lean on what they do and less on what the wrestlers do. But
yeah, Black and Gold, Team 2.0, who's going to win War Games?
Happy retirement, Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh, no. Team 2.0 wins.
Team 2.0 wins. This is the ascendance of 2.0, this War Games.
Remember when Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa had a match of War Games? Everyone was certain that Bron Breakker was going to win that title.
I know. I think maybe we're delaying it. This ain't going to be the top of my confidence points, I'll tell you that much. But yeah.
I still think regardless of winner, I think the people who stand tall at the end of this match are Imperium and a renewed, newly brought back Walter.
That would be great.
I think Walter and Imperium lay waste to everyone. And they have a new member in Imperium, and it's Timothy Thatcher.
Oh, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
And then Tommaso Ciampa is like, why?
Why? Timmy, we were friends. Not anymore. We're not, bitch.
And then he throws a chair at him. And that's how the show ends.
I'm all for it. We're going to be watching the show live at twitch.tv/FightfulGaming tonight, Sunday night, December 5th. And you're welcome to join us. Come and hang out with us. Tim, you're welcome to join me with everyone else. You know how it goes. I think that's all we have. We're going to be back on Wednesday at noon Eastern, talking about all the other stuff. Till then, Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
They can find me, Tim Stone, TimBstoneP on Twitter, Instagram.
Oh my God. Show is at Tim and Joel Pod, timandjoelpod.com, youtube.com/TimandJoelPod. Go ahead, toss a like here, subscribe to the channel, and tell your friends. If you want merch, come to the Discord. Let's talk about it. Maybe there's some room for us to look into merchandise. Tim and I can always talk about it with y'all. Do that in the Discord. And finally, I am at Joel Pearl, JoelPearl. Enjoy Extreme, not Extreme Rules. Wow. Enjoy War Games tonight. And we'll see you all on Wednesday, noon Eastern. Have a good one. Cheers.